Okay, we left off in the last session in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I believe it was verse 7, and we're going to pick up in this session in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 8. And remember, I had a lot to say about sanctification. You remember we're a triune creation created by a triune God. And it's so important to realize that he's driving home the point about our sanctification in these previous verses, because he's about to mention the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, which is the final phase of our sanctification. So as we wait for the return of Christ in the clouds for his body, it's going to tell us what we ought to be doing in verses 8 through 12, and then of course we'll get into the coming of the Lord in verse 13. But remember this, Matthew chapter 24, if you remember, it's red letters. That's Jesus speaking. Who was Jesus speaking to? He was speaking to the Jews. Remember, he came unto his own. And with that said, I want to go ahead and just mention this briefly, and I may pick back up on it a little bit later. But it's important to realize that the earthly ministry of Christ was to the Jews. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," and now he's talking to the 12 now, he says, "Jesus said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." And we know that the Samaritans were half-breeds. And it says in verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's pretty cut and dried. Jesus' ministry was to the Jews. Now, if you'll look at chapter 15 of Matthew in verse 24, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It's so important for us to realize Matthew 24 was written to the Jews. And in Matthew 24, it's speaking to the Jews. And remember, the purpose of the tribulation is to bring the Jews to Christ. God's not through with the nation of Israel. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes in Romans chapter 11. But it's also important to remember this. What is the purpose of the church age? The purpose of the church age, and some call it the body of Christ age, because this is the time when God is putting together the body of Christ, is to provoke Israel to jealousy. And we're going to read those exact words in just a few moments, if you'll just stay with me. Now, picking up where we left off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. It says, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching or concerning brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So obviously these folks love one another. And I think it's so important for us today to love one another. We're the body of Christ. Guess what? Christ loved us way before we loved him. "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And we're to follow his example. And it tells us in Peter that he was our example, and that's the example that we follow. And we should love one another. Verse 10. "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." In what? Loving one another. Our love walk should be increasing as we are changing from glory to glory, as our minds are being sanctified by the washing of the water by the Word. If you want to grow in Christ, then guess what? You're going to have to study the Word. Now look what it says in verse 11. "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." In other words, we ought to live a quiet and a peaceable life, and be peacemakers and not peace takers. It's hard to take peace from somebody when you're loving that person with the same type of love, sacrificial love, that Christ showed towards us. Now, verse 12, "that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." Now, as we, the body of Christ, become more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to love one another more and more. Amen? Why? Because of the blessed hope we have. We are the body of Christ, and guess what? We're not going through the tribulation. We're not going through a time of wrath. It was not appointed unto us to suffer wrath. But guess what? We comfort one another with the words that we're about to study in verses 13 through 18. So let's go ahead and get into it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, who? Brethren." That is speaking to the church. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which what? Have no hope." Who are those people? The lost. Those people who are without Christ in the world. And he's saying, hey, I've got something to tell you here. And it's so important for us to understand what it says in verse 14. Because if you want to be snatched away, and you want to be caught up, and you want to be taken up in what we call the rapture, and you don't want to go through the tribulation, and you want to be a part of the body of Christ, then here it is right here, verse 14. What does it say? This is the gospel. "For if we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Listen, we know that the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. We know that it's in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 through 4, it says that Jesus died for us according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. Now, what was Israel supposed to believe during Jesus' earthly ministry? They were supposed to believe he was the Messiah. But what did they do? They rejected him. And then they crucified him. Now, if we want to be a part of the body of Christ, he goes ahead and tells you right here, then you got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, I want to make a statement, and I hope that you'll stay with me through these series of messages. But I want you to understand something. I explained to you earlier about Jesus' earthly ministry. I explained to you that in Matthew chapter 24, that was Jesus speaking to who? To the Jews. Please stay with me. If you want to read about the rapture of the church, then you're going to have to read the Pauline epistles, because that is where it's mentioned. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds." Now, where are we going to be with him? In the clouds. Nothing about his feet coming down to the earth. To meet the Lord, where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now that word caught up there, that phrase, is a Latin word, raptus. And that's where we get the word rapture from. Now this was written originally in the Koine Greek. And of course we know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. But the word rapture actually comes from a Latin word, raptus. So that's where that word comes from. Now, with all that said, Christians today are confused concerning the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. You know why? Because of 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. They're trying to take the kingdom gospel over here. They're trying to take this kingdom message where Christ came down to the earth to set up a kingdom. But what did Israel do? They cut him off. They crucified him. He came into his own. His own received him not. And guess what? It didn't work. But it was also a plan from the beginning, from the foundations of the world, because God had a long-term plan that man didn't know nothing about. And that was that he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles through a man named Paul. But the main reason there's confusion today is because of the devil. The devil does not want anybody to know the truth of the word rightly divided. Think about it. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? He twisted God's word around and deceived them. So, look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, I want you to listen to what it says. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 first. We won't be going through the whole chapter, but I just want to make a point. And remember, the primary focus of these lessons is to get you to understand you're the body of Christ. I want you to understand the difference between the Jews and the body of Christ, the rapture and the second coming, and those things. Who's talking to who, who's writing it, and what's it being written about. We want to rightly divide the scripture. So let's look at this for a minute. Romans 11, 7 and 8. It says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." Now, look at verse 11. It says, "I say then, have they stumbled?" Talking about Israel. Has Israel stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Absolutely not. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, and it tells you why and how, for to provoke them to jealousy. That's what it was about. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus paid it all on the cross. All of the judgment that we had coming upon us was placed upon the Lord Jesus himself on the cross. There is no purpose for the body of Christ to go through the tribulation. We're the body of Christ, and guess what? It says right here, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Look at verse 25 of Romans 11. Verse 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant." Now, who are the brethren? That's us. "That ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." You see, Israel has been temporarily blinded. They're blind. And people say, "How in the world could it be?" Well, it tells you. God blinded them. He had a purpose and a reason for all of this. And that was his grace, to bring the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles. Now, with that said, primarily, God today is dealing with the Gentiles. This is what we call the church age, or the body of Christ age. Now, I will tell you, the nation of Israel has been blinded as a nation, but there are some Jews who have been converted. And also, during the tribulation, it's not going to be about the Gentiles anymore. It's going to be about the Jew. And I want to show you that in just a few moments. But before we move forward, there's something that I feel led to show you about this blindness. If you will, remember that we are living in the church age. This is what's called the dispensation of grace. And we're living in the times where God has dispensed his grace upon us, and we also know why he did that, to provoke them to jealousy. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read you these verses. It says, "But if our gospel be hid," which is what we read it a few minutes ago, the death, burial, and resurrection, "it is hid to them that are lost," those without Christ, "in whom the God," little g, little o, little d, "the God of this world," now who is that? The devil. "The devil hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see, there are folks today who have rejected the grace message. And I'm going to tell you why they have. Because they've been blinded by the god of this world. And it's unfortunate today that there's books you can buy, there's movies you can watch, that gives people the false assumption that after the rapture takes place, they'll suddenly see that it took place, and they'll say, well, I guess it was true, and now I'll get converted. Well, I got news for you. If you're living, if you reject the gospel of the grace of God right now, during the church age, and the rapture takes place, I'm here to tell you, you're through. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Now keep in mind, we just read during the church age that the devil blinds folks. The devil deceives people and blinds people, lest what? The light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. In verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's talking about when the Holy Spirit is taken out of here, then the tribulation starts. Now listen to this, what he says in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed, folks, until the tribulation period. I hear people say all the time, well, this guy on TV, I wonder if he's the Antichrist. Well, let me tell you something. The Antichrist is going to come from the revived Roman Empire. That's what the Scripture teaches. So if he's not from the revived Roman Empire, then he's not going to be the Antichrist. Number two, you ain't going to know who he is anyway, because he's not going to be revealed until the tribulation. And he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now guess what? That's going to be at the second coming. So we're talking about tribulational things here. And it says, even him in verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan, after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. If you remember, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there's no signs going to be given to us during this age. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is going to do all kinds of things and cause all kinds of things to happen during the tribulation to deceive people with signs and wonders. Now, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they what? They receive not the love of the truth. That is the gospel. They rejected the gospel. So, look what happens in verse 11. And for this cause, capital G-O-D, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We have folks today that don't want nothing to do with God. All they're doing is feeding the flesh, and that's all they care about. As long as they can feed that flesh. And they're reading these books that's making them think under a false assumption that if the rapture takes place and they figure out that it is true, that they'll just get saved then. Well, I got news for you. They're not going to be able to. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Now we're going to start talking about the Christians again. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And listen to this right here. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. What is our gospel? Jesus died for you. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen. That is the gospel. And you see, with all that said, the rapture and the second coming are two totally separate and different events on God's timetable. And I'm here to tell you, the rapture is for the body of Christ, and the second coming is for the remnant of Jews at the end of the tribulation. That's when God comes back, when Christ comes back to this earth to set up his kingdom. That's the second coming. Two totally different events. The rapture has to do with the body of Christ, and the second coming has nothing to do with the body of Christ outside of the fact that we are coming with him. And if we're going to come with him, that means we got to already be up there. Amen? So, the church is not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. The tribulation is definitely wrath, Revelation 6 through 19, all those chapters. talking about the tribulation, and nowhere in there is the body of Christ even mentioned. The rapture is when Jesus comes in the air for his church, but his feet will not touch the earth, and there's no mention whatsoever of judgment and wrath. The second coming is when Jesus comes back to the earth and his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, and he has much to say about wrath and judgment during that time. The church, the body of Christ, is going to return with him. See if you can find the book of Jude. Anybody know where Jude is located? It's right before Revelation. Jude 14. It says, "And Enoch also, the servant, the seventh from Adam, prophesied thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words." I believe we already see folks today speaking great swelling words, but nothing like they're going to do during the tribulation. But I'm here to tell you, every one of their mouths one day is going to be stopped. And I want you to think about it. We talk about sanctification, which is holiness, the fact that we've been set apart for God's use, set apart unto God, and we are holy. And I want you to think about something for a minute. We're holy, and we're sanctified, and we're righteous for one reason, and one reason only. Not because of anything that we did, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I'm here to tell you, we're holy and we're righteous because we are in Christ Jesus. And there's three kinds of sanctification mentioned in the New Testament. The first type, and I'm just going to throw these out there, you can look them up in your study. The first one is positional holiness. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:11. The fact that we are in Christ Jesus. Positionally, we're already holy. Positionally, we're already righteous. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies, as it tells us in the Pauline epistles. We have positional holiness because we're in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. There's also progressive holiness. We are being changed. Remember Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. We're being changed from glory to glory by the washing of the water by the word we read earlier. We are changing every day. And guess what? As someone text me here recently about the fact that he just wished that he could go a day without messing up. Well, join the crowd. Amen, because we all blow it each and every day. But thank God that his grace and his mercy is new every day. So there's positional holiness, 1 Corinthians 6:11. There's progressive holiness, Romans 6, 12 through 13. We're being changed. And guess what? There is perfected holiness. And that perfected holiness cannot be obtained in this life. And I want to read again over in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this time, I want you to see this. In verse 13, I'll just go ahead and read verses 12 and 13. Remember, perfected holiness. It says, "And the Lord make you increase and abound in love toward one another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Verse 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints." Now, we got to understand something. Our spirit has been sanctified. Our mind is being sanctified. And one day soon, at the rapture of the church, our sanctification is going to be complete, because this old corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and forever and ever, for all eternity, we're going to be with Christ.